This is Anthony Simons, and you're listening to The Blazers Balcony with Brooke Olsendam and Casey Holdon.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to The Blazers Balcony, episode 98 of The Blazers Balcony. I am Casey Holdall. I'm joined by my friend and co-worker, Brooke Olsendam, live to tape from Santa Barbara on the shores of the Pacific Coast, the Pacific Ocean. Brooke Olsendam, how are you doing? It's great to see you. It's been a minute since we've seen each other.
I missed you so much. Like I always say when we're talking about our pre-podcast chats, Casey and I will go off the rails and talk for like over an hour. I'm like, oh shoot, we got to do that podcast. But so that's what I miss the most. I mean, I missed doing the podcast. I've missed it very much since we took a little break, but I miss just like chatting with you and talking with you and seeing what's new in your life. So it's really nice to just be here with you in person and to get to the news, because I know we have a lot going on.
It is,
but
yes.
I miss doing it. And people, and for all you loyal listeners out there, Casey and I were talking about this too. Thank you so much for listening and shouting us out when you see us on the street. And that means a lot to us. And we always share stories. Like, I met a guy that said he listens to us on his way to work every morning. And so sorry that we took a little hiatus, but we had to.
we're trying to bring our best too. And I think, you know, we don't want to get, we don't want to put ourselves out there when things are too emotional, you know. And
no one wants to hear from me.
Rather close to a lot of the guys who have since moved on that we'll be talking about on this edition. Some great moves, obviously, by the team. Joe Cronin, shout out to you. You really did your thing, man. Like, under a lot of
the long odds.
Yeah, exactly. So shout out to Joe for that. But still, you know, a little. Particularly for myself and for a lot of fans out there too, obviously, you know, like the end of the Damian Lillard era, the end of the Yusuf Nurkic era, you know, also saying goodbye to Nas and Keon, you know, we'll get to those things. But yet I did want to mention that Brooke is right. We do really enjoy doing this podcast together, and we do spend a lot of time talking before it. But since we hadn't done one in a while, we hadn't had a whole lot of conversations, and Brooke and I text, you know, fairly regularly, but not dumb regular or anything, every couple of days.
Well, after about a week we didn't talk, I had to call you.
Well, right, and that's what I was going to say, is I get a text from Brooke being like, are we friends anymore? I'm like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? She's like, well, you don't return my calls, you never get back to me. And I was like, I thought I did. Well, and the other thing about it, too, is that Brooke will go days without responding to my text messages. And
I don't think that's accurate.
I know it's accurate. But I'm also riffing here, too. But long story short, I'm glad we were able to get together finally, Brooke, to do this, because I know that you were missing it and I was missing it, too. And I want to triple whatever the word is, what Brooke said about fans. Every time I'm feeling like, you know, maybe this game has passed me by and, you know, maybe it's time to do something else. Anytime someone's like, hey, man, the podcast was great. And it's always about the podcast, too.
Yeah.
It always really gives me a boost. And I'm always like, hey, you know, I'm still
in this. When you see Casey on the street, make sure to go up and tell him that you love the podcast. That keeps him going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's incumbent upon all of you to keep my fragile ego up and running as we enter another season of Portland Trailblazers basketball. The 2023-24 season is upon us. But before that, we obviously have to talk about the big news over the last week. DeAndre Ayton, Tumani Kamara from the Phoenix Suns in exchange for guard Keon Johnson, Nasir Little, our good friend Yusuf Nurkic. Additionally, Trailblazers acquired Drew Holiday, 2029 first-round pick, and the rights to swap first-round picks from the 2028 and 2023 or 2030 drafts.
It's okay.
The 20 is tough for me.
It's a lot.
Like, it's difficult. And you guys already know all this stuff anyways from the Bucks in exchange for guard Damian Lillard, Grayson Allen going to Phoenix. That happened on Thursday, and then a few days later, right before the start of the season, Trailblazers acquire Robert Williams III and Malcolm Brogdon, who I actually saw in the hotel here today.
Oh, did you?
I did. I introduced myself, and he was trying to run an errand, but he didn't have a car. And we did get a car, but I didn't have it at the time because I came back from practice on the bus. And I really regretted it because I was like, oh, man, if you could just offer to help him out right here. Like,
that would have been a nice in for you.
It would have been a nice little connection right from the jump, but I didn't make it happen. But acquiring Robert Williams and Malcolm Brogdon in exchange for Drew Holiday, who they received in the Bucks trade, also getting a 2024 first-round pick and a 2029 first-round pick as well. So Joe Cronin, after everyone told us over and over and over again that there was only one deal to be had, and
that was not the case.
That was it. Turns around, comes out with DeAndre Ayton, Robert Williams, two very good centers, young centers. Yeah. Malcolm Brogdon, reigning sixth man of the year, a great veteran guard, Antetokounmpo Kamara, and three first-round picks, and then a couple pick swaps in exchange for Dame and Nurk and Nas and Keon, which, again, you know, regardless of your opinion about kind of whether you wanted Dame to stay or go or what have you, like, that's a fantastic return, and for his staff, I mean, and to Jody and everyone, like, congratulations. Like,
no, I agree.
It's, you know, obviously a tough thing to do. I know it wasn't easy for anybody, but to come away from a difficult situation, having set your team up fairly well going into the future, yeah. I think, you know, you gotta tip your cap.
I agree. And I would also tip my cap to Joe Cronin and company for, like, staying strong, you know, like in multiple ways where, I mean, I hate, you know, we'll get to Dame and we will give him his flowers, which we have done for 98 episodes.
I was gonna say, yeah, I mean, but, the last 12 years.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say, like, Joe said, this is what we're doing. In regards to what Dame had said, this is what I want. Okay. Well, then we're going to work around that, you know, figure it out. And then I don't know. I mean, in reports, maybe he changed his mind. Joe he stood his ground. He stuck to what he said he was going to do. He's like, well, I've already put things into motion for, you know, what I thought was the plan. And so I have to stick to my plan. And again, Miami, I mean, every outlet I watched or heard was like, and we already knew this, but that was kind of laughable. What was offered to us for the top 75 player. Like, you got to give me a break a little bit. No offense to the people that were involved in that, but, like, there needed to be more in that trade. And so I appreciated that he stuck to his guns and was like, that's not going to work for us. I'm not going to give up the Damian Lillard for that. And we knew something was going to happen. I would have bet my life it was going to be Toronto at that point. Like, I changed every week. I'm like, I think at the beginning I was like, well, it sounds like Miami's the only thing, you know, and then obviously things changed. And then I'm like, maybe it's Toronto. And then Milwaukee kind of came out of left field. But I will say, it's now that I can step back and look at where everyone is, look where everything that's happened, it's a win, win, win.
Yeah.
I say. Dame is, I mean, we saw the parade they had for him. It's like he already won the championship. I mean, it was funny because, like, he had a going away party, and then the next morning he was, like, walking down the streets of Milwaukee.
Which I saw when I saw people that were already there in Milwaukee for that that parade or that rally when Dame was still in Portland. And I was like, oh, man.
The luxuries of having a private jet.
Like, you guys might as well go home and come back because, like,
he's still here.
I know he hadn't even left yet. So,
but you know what I mean? Like Milwaukee wins because they got Dame and Jan. I mean, what a pair. Yeah. What a pair. And I've now, like,
are you talking about Dame and Robin Lopez? Because
I was going to add him.
What a pair.
I was going to say, when I saw him and the Lopez's, and Giannis in that picture, they had the four of them. Oh, no, what's his face?
Brooke.
Middleton. It was Chris Middleton. Sorry. So it wasn't Lopez. It was Brooke and Chris Middleton and Giannis and Dame. And they looked really happy they looked sweet together. And I'm like, it's like seeing, you know, your ex with a new person and you're like, gosh, I think that relationship, like, makes sense. And I hate feeling that way, but I do. And then I look at what we got in terms of the Blazers and I'm like, this is great. Yeah. Like, I that's why I say, like, win, win, win. And I wish, you know, I know we'll get to him, but I wish the best for our boy Nurk in Phoenix. I hope that that's a great spot for him. And I think he needed a reboot, you know?
Absolutely.
And as I would say for DeAndre, you know, sometimes just a change of scenery will completely change your outlook on life and the game. And I hope that it works out for everyone involved. But as of right now, it feels, it doesn't feel icky. It feels good.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you could throw another win onto that too, in that, you know, the Celtics end up getting Jrue Holiday.
Oh, I haven't even gotten
really
to that. Yeah.
As well. And Blazers get Robert Williams III and Malcolm Brogdon and some picks there too. Like, I mean, that, again, it's one of those situations where everyone seems like they feel like they won the trade, or at least they feel good about it. And that's, you know, particularly when you're in a situation where you have to do something, you know, like Dame comes in and says, hey, it's time. I want to be traded. Like, you have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can try to kick it down the road, but that never works. And so when you have to do something, it's like you generally feel like you're going to end up in a situation where you're like, okay, this will be all right. But like, it just puts you, it starts you off in a bad position from a negotiating perspective. Yeah. And so to come away with the package that they came away with, and, you know, depending on how it goes, might even turn into different things further on down the road as well.
Yeah, it might not be over.
With flexibility, you know, like it again, it just really makes you feel like if this had to happen, like this is a decent way for it to happen. And, you know, you talked about kind of the notion of Miami. And for me, it wasn't even so much about the package. It's just when you work for a team, or I guess I shouldn't extrapolate this for everyone, but for myself personally, working for the team, you know, like I feel like I have a pretty good sense of not necessarily what's going to happen, but like you have a sense about the way things work.
Yeah.
And you just develop, particularly when you've worked for a team for a while, like you just, it's not an instinct, but you just develop a knack for kind of knowing how things are going to play and being able to kind of see the landscape a little bit more, maybe more so than someone who doesn't work for the team. But every now and then there's a situation where everyone is saying one thing and you're like, boy, that doesn't really jibe with what I'm hearing and what I'm feeling and kind of noticing is being talked about within the organization.
That's when I stay off of Twitter.
So I'm like, am I wrong about this? Like, it just kind of made me think like, is your read on this like completely wrong, Casey? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like.
What was your read?
Well, my read was that it was never going to be Miami.
And oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
oh, see, that's
so
funny.
I really got that sense.
In my mind, I thought that's the only option.
But there were so many people saying it that after a certain point, I was like, well, you must not be reading this right, dude. And
you don't
like,
know everything.
And it turns out, yeah, I mean, and that's kind of, I've stayed off Twitter for the most part too, other than to point out that like, no one generally knows anything. Like, and there's a couple guys in the NBA in media who get to break stories. Everyone else pretty much has to sit back and wait for those guys to do it. And none of those guys were getting in on talk. And I was just like, man, are you really telling me that Woj and Shams don't have this thing dialed when like guys are saying like it's a day away or it's basically done? And I was just like, man, maybe you don't know this stuff as well as you thought you did.
I was getting texts from people like when I said earlier about Toronto. I was getting texts from people that I've gotten texts from before that have been right that I didn't see coming. I'm like, whoa. So I got these texts like, he's going to Toronto. I'm like, well, this person, everything they've said to me before has been accurate. And now they're saying he's going to Toronto. And so in my mind, I'm like, well, I guess it's Toronto. So that was after I was like, sure, it was Miami.
Yeah.
And so then it was Milwaukee. I'm like, well, my head's spinning, you know, but like, honestly, after everything fell into place, it's good. I'm pleased. I'm happy for everyone, especially Dame, obviously, who we love. He's been so good to us, and I wish him like all the best. I know people are like, do I root for her? Well, you root for people you want to root for.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a Milwaukee fan, but you can be a Dame fan and you can root for him no matter what jersey he's wearing. And I will say it was kind of funny. Cause you know, you're saying like, we know how things work. And so I have like tiers of girlfriends, right? The ones that like really know.
Sure.
And there's only like two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then
the ones you like, you can say things to and be
yes,
like, hey,
and they'll
like,
know.
I don't have to do the like, hey,
he plays guard. They shoot a lot, you know, like, and then I have my next tier that like know the players because of maybe who they dated, like they dated the Kardashians. And then I have my friends that know nothing. And God bless her. One of my friends that's, I would say in the lower tier, I don't know how she even knew who he was, but she's like, we got Drew Holiday. I was like, oh, sweetie. Yes, I love Drew Holiday. And she's like, his wife. Remember the baby?
I was
going to
say, is she into soccer?
Yeah, she knew the whole thing.
Well, yeah,
so
okay,
she knew,
yeah.
And which is an amazing story. And there's is it Dateline? No, it's not Dateline. It's like a 2020 or a 60 Minutes. I think it's 60 Minutes. The most amazing, like quick, like 15-minute documentary on that whole story. If you guys don't know, Drew Holiday's wife, I think it was a brain aneurysm while she was pregnant. Had to decide, she waited to have surgery to save the baby. It was a difficult surgery. Baby made it. And Drew thought he might lose his child and his wife in like the same night. It was like, it's so emotional. So it's an amazing story. And I've always loved Drew Holiday, even before that story. Like, yeah. That didn't make me
he's
love
hard
him.
Hard to dislike.
He's wonderful. Everyone he's lovely. But I had to tell my friend, I was like, we're going to trade him. She's like, why would you do that? I'm like, well, we have a point guard and it just makes sense to use him as, and I hate to say this about people, like use him as an asset, like to trade for more. And she's like, he would just use it. Like, I had to break down an entire Drew Holiday trade to my friend who knows nothing about basketball. She's like, but he's so nice.
I would really like it if we could figure out new terminology for talking about those things. Because, yeah, it just – I completely agree. Like, it just feels
– dirty.
Wrong.
Yeah,
like,
I hate it.
And, like – I wish there were like more whimsical, like less loaded terms than like
not an asset, but an attribute, like wait, what is it? What is the food word where it's like accoutrement?
Oh,
like
yeah,
it adds to you, like sure, it adds yeah. to your meal.
Yeah.
He's a nice accoutrement.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. We just figured it out. He's a nice little mousse bouche. Yeah. Just a little one.
Signal the flavor.
Accoutrement. I like
this. Probably doesn't.
No one likes this.
Not an improvement, anyways. But you know,
better than an asset or a tool.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's just. Yeah, I mean, that's a conversation for a different podcast. But yeah, it's no. But I agreed. And you know, for it to go the way that it did and to play out the way that it did, I think, again, you just the deals itself, I think, obviously, I don't think I've seen anyone outside of Miami saying that it's anything but a great move. But also the way that, like, it played out, and the fact that no one knew that it was Milwaukee until it was announced, basically, again, like, that's proof that Joe and his staff really did their job well. Because
think, like, about like how long ago they actually started.
Yeah,
this. Like, we knew nothing.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, like he had mentioned this, and he mentioned this at media day that, you know, like, they've been talking to the Suns like every day for 2 months.
Wow.
So like they've. And I think the Ayton Nurk thing, I think that's kind of been out in the air there for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But still, I don't think that people necessarily saw that automatically as like, that's what's going to happen. And then, you know, to have it pop that it was going to be Milwaukee, you know, to be able to keep that quiet, which just doesn't really happen very often.
No.
Like, I mean, shout out to Joe and his staff. Shout out to the Bucks too. Like, I mean, the Bucks especially, it's like you have a chance at Damian Lillard. It's like, we are not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize
that's
even
true.
The possibility of this. So everyone keep your
mouth shut.
Shut.
Yeah.
Or
and they
else
sure did.
You find somewhere else to work.
And you know what's, you know, I've heard, I mean, you've worked in this business a long time, that sometimes people have people like in the press that mm-hmm. they like would like their narrative to be put out. This is one of those things where it's like, shut the door, lock it. Everyone in this room, don't say a word. Like, don't tell your wives. Don't tell your kids. This is like, we got to get this deal done. And I appreciate that they did that. I usually hate surprises. I didn't hate this one. I was like, I was surprised. But as again, when I sat back and looked at it, I'm like, okay, that makes sense for him. Makes sense for us. And then I know we're going to make a few more moves that will probably make sense. And then we did, and they did. And so it all makes sense. But I love the fact that they were able, that's impressive to be able to keep that under wraps without even, like, you see all these things. I mean, I could kill my friends and family. They send me every single tweet that's like, it says trade offer. That would be good for blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, like, it's not real, but
sure.
they all
yeah,
think they're
yeah.
all real. They're like, when did this happen? I was like, it didn't happen. It says probability is 90% or whatever. You know, like, it's all
media
just like,
literacy, folks.
Yes.
Media literacy.
And my favorite is, I told you, I've said on this podcast that my friend Stacia, God love her, sent me, she is more than once sent me the fake Woj account. And I'm like, Stacia, that dude has 98 followers. That is not the real. Oh my God, you're right. It's not the right Woj. Stop sending me these. She's like, can you believe this? I'm like, I can, because I'm looking at it and that's not true. I'm aware. And she's like, she feels, and she's actually my top tier basketball friend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's
Stacia.
Yeah. Stacia, you know, she knows all, her and I met watching a playoff game. Just the two of us. We were by ourselves ordering food to go. That's how we met. So, our friendship started in basketball, but she just didn't see it. You know, she looked at it real quick and freaked out and sent it to me. But my point is that we hear about rumors all the time. I didn't hear that rumor once with Milwaukee.
No. I kept thinking, I was like, to me, I was like, Milwaukee would make a lot of sense. And I kept thinking, I was like, well, you know, like, maybe they're, I don't know how many teams they're talking to, but I kept thinking, like, when I was trying to figure out, like, how things were going to play out, like, mm-hmm. Milwaukee was always a team for me, even before Giannis was like,
yeah.
Boy, I don't know. I mean, maybe if we keep winning, I'll be around, but I'm not going to try to do
it. Oh,
that.
I was just going to say, we get a Casey.
Only for Nurk. No, Nurk is the only time I feel comfortable enough to break out my Eastern European. And, you know, he's Greek anyway, so it's different. But I always looked at Milwaukee as like, they have some decent pieces. They're close. Obviously, they won a championship a few years ago.
Very well-run organization.
In kind of spectacular fashion for multiple reasons.
Yeah, that was a weird, that was a weird deal.
Injuries, but and I was like, they're close. I know Dame and Giannis are close. Dame has been trying to link up with Giannis for years and years and years.
Giannis has been open about wanting to play with Dame.
Yeah, and so I was like, why? Why wouldn't?
Well,
they be
look at you. You were I mean, like, you were ahead of
again,
the game.
I didn't know anything was going to happen, but they just seemed to be a team to me where I was like, well, yeah. Like if there was a possibility, if I'm Milwaukee, like I'm moving heaven and earth to get that figured out.
Well,
so
and they sure did.
So they did. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the players that left at the end so we can get kind of weepy. But let's go ahead and just talk about the players that Portland was able to acquire. First day of training camp today in Santa Barbara, which I will talk about on the brief.
I don't know what you're speaking
of. The thing
of.
We don't talk about.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
not familiar.
But shout out to Michael Holton. Big listener,
I guess.
He
thought
Thank
that
you,
our podcast was the briefcase. I was like, are you joking? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, he said on the way from the airport to the hotel, he's like, I got to go do my podcast with Casey. He's like, oh, the briefcase. I was like, how dare you? Yeah. I go, they've only had 30 episodes. We've had 97.
Well, and if nothing, it's 55, by the way.
Okay.
But if nothing else, too, though, the idea that, like, you would allow yourself to be on a podcast that is, like, Habsy named after me, that I wouldn't allow that. So, but thank you, Michael Holton. You're a great listener, and I love you, and I think you do great work. Though I'm going to start calling the broadcast, like, the thing that Brooke does when she's not doing the Blazers balcony, like that thing, thing that we just ignore that you do 82 nights a year.
Well, that's fine. Actually, 81 this year.
Yeah,
81. That one TNT game at home, which is hilarious. The Miami game
prediction.
Yeah, this is what predictions.
They're going to flex that game.
Well, here's the deal. Can they change games?
My understanding is that like national TV stuff now. That's the Wild West. Like
they
decide they want to take a game, they take it. If they don't, they don't.
Well, but I mean, ESPN, we do simulcast, right? Or side by sides. Mm-hmm. TNT, it's exclusive. That's
right.
Their
yeah.
night.
No, that's their thing.
So
yeah.
I thought if it was in the books, like you couldn't change it, but maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't, maybe.
I mean, you would definitely know more about broadcast
well,
stuff
than
I
would.
Well,
that's scary that I'm saying I don't know what I'm talking
well,
about.
Well, and I'm probably wrong. I know that they can flex games up, but I don't know if that's ESPN. But
they,
yeah,
I think
you're
they
right.
can
there was
add them. I don't think they can subtract them.
That's
I think like that game's
yeah.
in the books. Like we didn't hire a crew for that game. You can't go back and say, just kidding.
That's true. Yeah. Like I've already got plans yeah. for that night. So.
I have my outfit picked out.
You
jeans.
Are taking that game regardless.
I am not showing. No, just kidding. I would because I hate when I don't work, but that's okay. It takes me about a quarter to get into the vibe that I'm not working, and then I do enjoy it. But for the first like 20 minutes, I'm MFing all the TNT people who I love. I'm like, enjoy yourself tonight.
Yeah. Have a good show. Really.
Enjoy my seat.
Yeah.
I kept it warm for you the last 70 games.
Do they give them your little seat?
No, they usually sit courtside.
I was going to say.
They're at the scorer's table. Yeah. I don't think that's not even set up. Because it's usually, like, let's say Doris is doing sideline, they put her right next to play-by-play and analyst, so they don't even use the corner seats.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, they shouldn't either. Anyways,
no.
Like, that's your seat. Like, no.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate
they
that.
They shouldn't let other people
should put tarp over it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I do know what you mean. Our house has been...
Oh,
leaking, so I've got quite a bit of tarp experience.
I didn't mean
actually.
To bring that up. I forgot.
Casey's out there almost falling off roofs and trying to keep water from coming in through the patch job that he did, I did a really good job with the patch too, and I was really proud of it. Mm-hmm. And then the water just happened to come through at the exact spot
just
with the patch.
To.
Not like, it wasn't the patch wasn't actually where the water it wasn't a patch because of the water. It just was bad coincidence that it happened to end up being where the water ended up at. So.
Okay.
This is not a very good story, but
it's. But
long story short,
my
the,
point is,
the roof is leaking.
Our point is that you work diligently on your house, and I love that about you. Like you,
I'm terrible at it.
No,
though.
But you're always doing. Well, I don't know if you're good or bad at it, but you're
I'm
always doing it.
I am bad at it. Well, the reason I'm always doing it is because I'm so bad
things,
at it.
Things you.
Bonnie's gonna hate this. She's like, Casey doesn't plant anything. Bonnie.
Oh, sorry,
things.
Bonnie. Yeah. Bonnie, do you want to call in? Can we get a caller? Oh, call her in. Boop boop.
Yeah, no, that
is,
oh,
this
she,
is
yeah,
Bonnie.
She
what Casey's saying
often,
is
but,
BS.
Yeah,
that was Bonnie.
That's true. Yeah, that she does want to as we've talked about, she wants a segment where she comes in and tells us all the stuff that we
I'm waiting for it. It was my idea.
Yeah, it was your idea.
You're Bonnie, right. Where are you? Come hither. Like, I'm waiting for this segment.
Well, someone's
got to. I'm wrong a lot.
Someone's got to keep the lights on at the Holdall household, so Bonnie's got to keep working.
Well, while the other person's letting water seep into their house,
exactly.
No biggie.
And, yeah, getting.
Just kidding, yeah. Case.
No, you're right. No, it's a failure on my part.
Anyways,
so,
DeAndre.
Yes, so.
He's great.
So getting to the non-failure parts.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead and go through some of these guys. DeAndre Ayton, Brooke, kind of your first impressions, yeah. Kind of your thoughts about getting DeAndre Ayton. And again, I think, you know, part of it for me is like just getting someone who's kind of more on the timeline of
yes.
Where kind of the team is headed right now post-Dame trade, I think makes a lot of sense regardless of the fact that he's got quite a bit of talent.
No, so here's the thing. Like we've talked about this before. We were so lucky. I mean, I don't know what the word is, but we had this, we didn't have a lot of changeover for a long time. And so I remember getting big names wasn't a thing. Not to say that we couldn't, I know we had to, everyone talks about free agency. It's hard in Portland. I think that's a real thing. But like, I remember when we got Robert Covington, I was like, oh, Robert Covington! I was running around the house like a child. Like, I was so excited because when you, like, it just sounds so silly, but like when you know the name and then like, he's going to be a Blazer. He's going to be a Blazer. I know Robert Covington. Oh my God, that's crazy. So obviously I know DeAndre Ayton. I followed not like diligently, but I, you know his career. I know where he's picked. I know how he has played. I know he has had some issues with the team, but that, again, we talked about this before it started. Sometimes you just need a fresh start. And so when I got, first of all, it's a little bit of like sticker. What's the word? Recollection. Like, I'm like, oh, that's a big name.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, well, I need to go back and look and like see like if this is a good fit. And I went back and looked at his stats and like the guy's a baller.
Yeah.
He's a baller. And so just on paper, I think he's a fantastic fit. But I'll say this, which is interesting. Whenever like we were in the talks, maybe bringing someone in that had maybe some character issues or had some problems with manager or whatever it is, I would always say, well, Dame won't let that happen under his watch. Well, now that, you know, we're talking about new people coming in, I can't say that anymore. So now I have a kind of a new lens. Like now that's going to be like these guys coming in, there's not someone to like put them in their place. They're going to have to like forge their own path, their own legacy. And so I think in my opinion, just by meeting him for, you know, 6 minutes last night, he was energetic. He was charismatic. He was funny. He was excited to be there. And this was the last station he went to. And most people are like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
You know? And when we were done, he's like, that's it? I was like, well, I want to do more, but I was told I only get 5 minutes with you. He's like, oh, okay. Like he was willing to stay and do the other game. I was like, can he? And everyone's like, nope, he cannot. He's got to go. I'm like, okay, fine. I get my 5 minutes. I'm happy. But I thought he was charming and he seemed really invested.
And that for me, that's a phenomenal point, Brooke, because you know, when guys get traded, they're usually like, you know, they're usually pretty happy, or at least like, you know, that they don't necessarily, no one's going to come in and be like, yeah, I can't believe I got traded here. This stinks.
No, they're going to put on a face. And,
right.
Yeah.
But like, he is genuinely excited to be mm-hmm. in Portland.
Yeah.
And I think that in and of itself is like, that's awesome. Like just that we were able to acquire someone who was really excited about the opportunity. And you're exactly right, Brooke. Like, whatever happened in Phoenix, like,
we don't know the whole story.
We don't know the story. And again, it's not like a fault thing. It's like, I don't think DeAndre is at fault. I don't think the Suns are at fault. Like, it's just like, sometimes things don't work. Sometimes you need a fresh start.
Look at Dame in Portland. It's right. No one's fault.
Yeah,
it just
exactly.
Didn't work
at a certain point in time, it's like, hey, maybe this would just be better for everyone if mm-hmm. if we tried something different. And so I think to be able to do that and to get a guy who you've liked for a while and you feel really strongly about what he can do for your team, who wants to be here and who, you know, is still growing as a player as well and as a person, you know, like it's not like DeAndre Ayton is the finished product right now, nor is the majority of Portland's rosters. So
that's a great point.
To have a guy who wants to be in Portland and who is excited and motivated to show what he can do mm-hmm. and who fits the timeline that the rest of the team is currently on, you know, at a position of need too, you know, like I think even if you hadn't traded Nurk, like just really thin at center for the last couple of years. Shout out to our boy Drew Eubanks.
I love Drew Eubanks.
Drew tried to leave. I follow him here. You can't ditch me, man.
Do more.
Well, no.
We won't have any other opportunities.
But you gotta pepper it in there.
All right, fine.
I'll
give me another one later.
I'll make sure we get in one. Okay. So just to have all that kind of line up that way, I think it's at least a great start to that relationship.
Well, so I was listening to sports radio as I do every day of my life, and I can't remember what show I was listening to, but someone said it might be the best. The best depth they've had, Blazers have had at center in a long time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and I started thinking about it, I was like, that's a really good point. I mean, Nurk at his height was, hi, we're doing a podcast. It's okay. Do you want to come
by
in?
By the way, though, ma'am, can I, the reason why I don't have that out there is because I don't have a do not disturb sign.
Casey just skipped to the front door. He hustled. He doesn't have a do not disturb sign. Oh no. He's apologizing. She says it's okay. Oh, she gave him a do not disturb sign. Everything is right in the world. Casey, stop apologizing. I just gave a play by play of what you just did, so you gotta keep that in. I just did a play by play of what just happened, so you should keep that in.
So they didn't give me a do not disturb sign, which I clocked the other day, and I don't know if I talk about this a lot on the podcast. I generally do not want anyone in my room. Like,
who does?
Well, some people like getting service every day. I'm not one of those people.
What do they do for you for service? I don't
know. Well, they make your bed. They give you more water.
Oh,
they,
you mean like what, turn down or right, like right. Or clean or your room? Just, oh,
yeah,
no.
Like,
I
did service.
If we stay on the road for 4 nights, which happens once every 5 years, there's never anyone in my room. I will.
I generally don't like one because I'm working. Two, I just don't feel like it's necessary.
And I don't want them to clean my makeup up. And like they put like a towel out. Like when I forget to do the do not disturb, I feel terrible the rest of the day.
And that too, it's like, yeah, I want to be able to clean up a little bit.
I don't want you to clean. Yes. Yeah, just like exactly. I clean up the day before my cleaning lady comes. I clean my entire house spotless so my cleaning lady can come the next
day. I don't go crazy or anything. I wiped off the surfaces. Like, I try to have my clothes put away a little bit. Like I don't want it to.
No, I am the same way.
Yeah,
and there's a couple of days where I forgot she was coming, and then I was on the road, and I looked down, I'm like, oh no, she's coming. I didn't clean the house for the cleaning lady. Oh my God, my house is going to be dirty for her. And I texted her. I was like, I'm so sorry, I forgot to clean the house because I don't want anyone else to like clean up stupid stuff. Like that should be my job. If I leave it out, I should clean it up.
I agree.
I just don't like mopping floors.
So the reason why the maid came in because I don't have a do not disturb sign.
So was she going to turn down your bed?
I assume that's maybe what they were going to do.
Well, it's
maybe
the Ritz.
Chocolates. I should have got chocolates, actually.
Oh, go get her. Come back. Why didn't we get the chocolates at least?
You can have one of these ones. You can't have my almond roca, though, from my picnic pack from our good friends at Alaska Air, even though I don't have status like you do.
I have status, and they gave me my special chocolate bar today, which I never like. And so I gave it to my neighbor sitting next to me. And I said, would you like this? And she was very excited. And so I did my good deed of the day, but I wasn't going to eat it anyways. I have like a stack of them. They're not bad. I'm just not a huge chocolate person.
Sure.
And so like, I'm not be like, oh, I got to get my hands on this. So they give it to me. I said, thank you.
But you took that almond roca.
Because I love almond roca. Okay.
I guess it's
I love toffee. I will eat toffee till the day's end. You put chocolate around it, great, bonus. But oh gosh, I make it in the Christmas time. It's really easy to make.
Yeah, it's basically just like butter and
Sugar, right? and then just heat it up super high and confectioners, and then you just lay it flat. Or it depends on if you want it to be hard toffee or like chewy.
So you're eating like Score bars?
I love Score bars. Oh, or a Heath bar. Oh, take
That's
me
right,
to church.
Heath, yeah, which one? What's the difference between a Score and a Heath?
Score is just chocolate and toffee. Heath has like extra stuff
on
top.
Yeah, it's got like a thing on the top. Yeah.
They're both essentially the same thing.
I feel like Heaths are a little like maybe less dense too. I'm probably mistaken on that.
No, you're right. If you weighed the two, I would say the Heath would weigh less. A Score is just jam packed like toffee, chocolate. It's like real thick and like you could, knock someone out with it. Heath is the lighter version. We'll go with that.
Fantastic.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do your Nurk impression.
Well, no, I'm not going to just do it. Like, there has to be.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be patient. Yeah.
But shout out to Nurk for discussing the scourge that is gun violence in the United States at Phoenix Suns Media Day. Shout out to you, Nurk. Never change, man. He won't either. Like, Nurk will not change.
Why would we want him to? Yeah.
Fair enough. Moving on. Some of the other players that they have received over the last couple days in the trade with Damian Lillard, Yusuf Nurkic, Nasir, Keon. Also acquiring rookie Tumani Kamara from the Phoenix Suns as well, a guy who played first 2 years at Georgia, then his next 2 years at Dayton. Came to Portland for a workout. They like him quite a bit. A Belgian national, lived in Belgium until I think he was 16.
He probably likes chocolate too.
Moved to the United States. He probably does. Though I guess sometimes, you know, like if you're around cookies all the time, you don't necessarily like cookies anymore because you're around them. But
I think I'd still like cookies. But
yeah, probably.
We'll ask him.
A young small forward, athletic, can shoot a little bit as well. A guy who I think kind of there was talking to Joe. He was like, it was important for us to get like another kind of young up and coming player while we're putting these deals together. And Kamara, a guy who they've been tracking in college, who they liked in the draft process, didn't end up working out, but able to acquire him and met him here at practice. A very nice young man, and I think trying to fill out the team with some athletic forward wings as well, because that's also been an area for the Trailblazers that I feel like they've been a bit deficient in terms of athleticism on the wing at times. And I think that, you know, by getting some young players in those deals or in this deal as not a throw-in, but, you know, not like the marquee piece, I think they feel like, you know, those are the kind of parts in those deals that might not like take you over the top, but helps you like build out your team. And, you know, so I'm interested to see what Tumani does. And, a guy who I think will probably come off the bench for a bit, but maybe even spend some time with the Remix. But I think a guy who they're excited about.
I would say shout out to our front office too for making it an emphasis to look at guys from all over.
Yeah.
You know, like that's when the new regime came in. I remember that question was asked. You know, are you going to like focus more internationally? Is that good? Because from what it sounded like, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, but it wasn't like as big of a focus before. And Joe wanted to make it a bigger focus. And then you bring in like Mike Schmitz, who, you know, that's part of what he does. You know, he knows like talent all over the world. So shout out to our guys for tracking these guys, you know, like, and knowing who they are and not overlooking them because they're not like right in your face. And so I think that's a shout out to them for noticing his talent and knowing where he's at and like eyeing in on him. And in this exact time, like it's impressive to me because I don't know a ton about him.
Yeah.
But now that I've looked into it, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. You know, like that's kind of how I felt. Some of the guys we got, you know, I didn't know a ton about them, but now that I go back and look at their, you know, their past or where they came from and their stats, and I'm like, oh, that fits in well with this. You know, that's why I'm not a GM, because I'm like a after the fact GM. But it's nice to go back and look and be like, oh, okay, they knew what they were doing.
Well, and to that point, I think what I was just trying to say that I don't think I did a very good job of kind of elucidating is that for a team to be successful, particularly a team like Portland, who, as you mentioned, not going to be a free agent destination, you know, you need to get lucky with some second round pick guys or just some guys who are a little undervalued.
Mm-hmm.
You at a certain point in time, you're going to need some of those guys to pop in order for you to have success.
Yeah.
Because like, if it's just in terms of like first round talent and people you can
like a Nicholas Batum.
Yeah, exactly. Though Nick was a first round
guy,
but he went later in the first round because he was people spreaded rumors about him having a heart issue, which actually dropped him like way far down. Which
that's always, terrible.
I've always been upset about that.
Now I'm upset about that.
No, it probably cost Nick throughout the course of his career probably quite a bit of money.
That is messed up.
He ended up doing just fine, but between his dad dying on the court and supposedly someone said that like he had this heart test that came back negative, he had to go through a whole bunch of battery of tests right before the draft.
I'm gonna be mad about this all day.
Health. And yeah, so you know those kind of things happen, which, you know,
BS.
That's another conversation about kind of loose talk in the NBA and how
you make it work to your or try to make it work to your
right
advantage.
And how you can, you know, how you can sink someone just by saying something that's not true, which, you know, happens all the time. So,
anyways,
but yeah, so I think a guy like Tumani is the exact kind of guy who, you know, if they're going to have success, you do that scouting. So you feel like, yeah, is this guy maybe, do we think he's going to be like a superstar? Probably not. But like, if we feel like he has talent, he's in the second round, he's maybe a little bit undervalued. Like those are the guys who, particularly kind of in the first 4 or 5 years of their career, like they can really help you because you can get those players at a price that you're able to pay under the confines of the CBA while also getting value on the court above what you would get otherwise. So those are the kind of moves that I think they're looking to make more now that they have built out their staff and feel like they need to kind of cast a wider net in terms of looking for talent, maybe outside of the kind of NCAA or just the more traditional options. So
sure.
I think that's a good point too, Brooke. And then, you know, you get to the guys in the secondary trade, Robert Williams III, a guy who, you know, has had quite a bit of success in the league, one of the best defensive centers in the league, has had some issues with injuries, but, you know, other than that, a guy who's really worked himself into a really quality player out of Texas A&M. And again, I think it gives you a rotation at the center position that is of a quality that we just haven't had in, boy, I don't necessarily
remember
when that was.
It's going to change the way we watch games. Like, fans are going to, like, it's going to be a different brand of basketball. And, you know, you talk to the old heads that, you know, used to be the big center and too many three-pointers now, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and new age people, you know, are like, threes, well, I mean, that's what the game is now. It's going to be interesting to see how fans react to this brand of basketball because it is, there's going to be a lot going through DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
The ball is going to go to him a lot.
It's going to be a lot different. You're right.
And we haven't seen that before. It's not going to be necessarily, you know, pick and roll for a guard, you know, pick and pop. It's going to be, that is the scoring option. I mean, that's our number one. I'm not saying it is going to be the number one scoring option, but it's going to be one of them. And it's kind of exciting to think about. Like, we'll be watching a different kind of basketball than what we've watched, you know, for years. And we'll see how the coaching staff, you know, wants to do with it and how much emphasis will be put on DeAndre scoring, or if it's, you know, more of like defense rebounding, or if things, whatever, because we have a great guard, we have a great cast of guards. So it's going to be interesting to see it, but it's going to be fun because it's new.
Yeah.
It's new.
And that's a really good point. And that's one of the points I've been making this entire time, kind of since the trade, is that, again, even if you were someone that's like Dame's biggest fan, Nurk's biggest fan, Nas' biggest fan, didn't want any of it to happen, like, I don't know that you could argue with the idea that the Blazers over the past couple seasons, it's just gotten kind of stale. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you kind of know what to expect. You knew who kind of the main guys were. You knew the way they were going to play. You know, they talked about getting better defensively, but just didn't really come together. Like, you know that they're going to be real Dame focused. And, you know, you knew that even though they were able to pull off some moves last year, you know, bringing in guys like Josh Hart, bringing in guys like Justice Winslow, that it didn't really change kind of the broad overview of what this team is. And obviously, and Jeremy as well, the season before that. Now you do have a team that, like, it's regardless of how good or not good you think they're going to be or not be, they are different. Like, it is a different Portland Trailblazers team now than we've seen in the past decade, I would say, you know, since Dame's ascendance and kind of really kind of took the mantle there. So regardless of kind of how you feel about any of the individuals involved, it's like, look, this is at least something new that is a different approach to this thing after trying kind of with varying degrees of success and trying, you know, with varying degrees of trying, I would say too, probably in terms of like being willing to I mean, make some moves that are going to be more difficult that they put off or didn't do for whatever reason. You know, now you have a team that it's like, hey, they're going to play a different way. They're much younger than they were before. They have different skill sets at different positions than they've had in the last 10 years. And I think, again, regardless of kind of how you feel about any of the individuals, like, that gives you something interesting to pay attention to this season. And, you know, if your only goal is like, are the Portland Trailblazers is going to win a championship this year? And you're probably not going to be especially stoked. But
reel it in
outside of that, like, you're going to see, I think, a team that's going to play harder than the teams that we've had in recent history. And I think that for me too is something that I've noticed fans generally being a bit put off about, which is like, how come we keep losing to teams that are playing harder than us? Like, they don't seem to have the same amount of talent we do. Why are we losing these games? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, last year, I mean, I've always known this, but if you play hard in the NBA, you always have a chance. And yeah. I'm not saying the guys weren't playing hard, but it just wasn't that juice, yeah. You know, like just whatever that thing is to kind of like, yeah. I don't know if people were kind of like wondering about what was next or whatever it was, but it just didn't ever seem like, you know, kind of that hard charging kind of gritty, no nonsense team that Chauncey wanted to kind of work with just didn't materialize for whatever reason. And now I think you have a bunch of young guys who, you know, they haven't written their book yet about who they are. So if they're going to be players like that, we'll find out. But at least like there's that possibility mm-hmm. there. And I think there's a good possibility that a number of those guys are going to play that way. But, you know, now that you know that it's going to look different, it's going to have a different feel, it's going to have a different shape. And like, I think that there's value in that, particularly when you kind of got to the point where it was like, look, is how close is this team to winning a championship or even to contending for a championship? And, you know, I would say after last season, it just didn't feel like they were especially close. So, you know, now you pivot and you're probably a little bit further away from it. And just in terms of like what's going to happen this season, but in terms of kind of the path you're putting yourself on, I think you get much closer to it with the roster they have now than with Dame and Nurk and Jeremy and Ant and then kind of a rotating cast of players around those guys. So again, long story short, like it really gives you something else to kind of pay attention to after I think people generally knew what to expect from the Portland Trailblazers mm-hmm. for the last five seasons, kind of night in, night out. And yeah, there's some value to just being different.
I totally agree. There is definitely value to being different. And it's exciting. And I think that is like fans, if you're listening, well, obviously you're listening, you're hearing me.
Thank you.
If you're listening, start really listening. That like Casey said, like, don't go into this season, you know, usually like we got comfortable, like, yeah, we're of course going to make the playoffs, but how far are we going to go? And then you'd have the national media saying, oh, maybe the first round out. And that's those are the conversations we used to have. It's a rebuilding process that we're not going to have that conversation going into the season. It's going to be, I would say, just experience it. Just go into it. Like, I love the game of basketball. I love my Portland Trailblazers. And there's going to be some, you know, games that you think they should have won. That's going to be rough. But there's going to be some games that they're probably going to win that they shouldn't. But it's just about the experience and watching the team grow. It's about growth, rebuilding, and really practicing like new, not techniques, but like practicing certain things like that you can improve upon. Yeah. Like the young guys figuring out, like Scoop figuring out the NBA. He obviously has a leg up because he played in the G League, and he will tell you that. But like, that it's a big step to go from, you know, G League to the NBA, and yeah. And he's gonna have to, you know, experience that and figure it out. And we watched that with Anthony, we watched that with Shaden, you know, and we could like chart their growth. And sometimes we're charting their growth in terms of like, well, us media, like how they talk to us, like basketball wise too. You know, like we saw so much growth. Like Anthony, like is can you imagine? I mean, put Anthony the day we met him to where he is now.
Night and day.
And I would give Shaden a ton of credit too. Like he is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Like, then we even said that. We're like, hopefully Shaden's on that Anthony track. And he is. I mean, he still walked into the media room last night and said, what's that? Where, what's going on there? What's that for? Is this live? You know, that's just what Shaden will do. And I love him for it. I hope he never changes. But I think it's just, you got to go into the season. No expectations. Just enjoy the journey. That's my
point. And I think people will, you know, I think that, you know, having fans in Portland love young players. They love kind of that youth and idea of, kind of what it could be. So I know that people are excited about that. I think there's obviously a lot of really good players on this team that are exciting. Like, I think obviously Scoot is a guy people are really jacked about, as they should be. Shaden, a guy who I think people are incredibly excited about. Ant, you know, I think he's getting a little short shrift here and there when people are talking about kind of the core of this group. But I mean, I can assure you that Ant is an important part of this team going forward.
I think he's going to,
and is going to have an incredible season this year. I think Ayton a chance to kind of reestablish himself or just kind of change the way that people might think about him. And then, you know, you got Jeremy coming back. You got Matisse coming back.
Jeremy was so excited at Media Day yesterday. He was the most outgoing I've ever seen him.
I can say this. I was taking photos at practice today. Jeremy smiled so much. Like, I must have like 10 photos of Jeremy, like, just full on, like, toothy smile.
He should smile all the time.
And, like, I was like, dude, this guy's, I mean, like,
we already had our good looking Jeremy.
I have a predilection to taking photos of Jeremy, anyways. But, like, I mean, the camera finds him. It's not my fault. Like, the camera finds him.
Why is Casey only taking pictures of Jeremy?
Why is he following Jeremy around? What's going on here? But, like, he just, like, very
Jeremy Grant, the only Blazer to show up for training camp.
So, like, if you looked at my photos, you might think that. But just the idea that, you know, I think people looked at Jeremy and then kind of saw the trade and was like, well, how does this kind of fit together? Yeah. And it's like, you can't just have a team of 21-year-olds, you know? Like, and so to have a guy in Jeremy who is young but has been through it and is excited about kind of the prospects going forward, I think is incredibly valuable. He looked really good today too, by the way. I probably shouldn't. Basketball wise, I'm not talking about he's wearing those Vibrams too, by the way.
Stop.
I did have to ask if I was allowed to take shirtless photos. I was like, is that okay? Or,
you took pictures in the pool last year.
Well, I didn't. Fantastic. Bruce Shout out to Bruce's photos. We have before, but it's like, you know. Like,
no,
you know,
I appreciate you asking.
It's a new year. It's always worth being like, if I take a photo of a guy with his shirt off, is that okay? I'm like, whatever. I mean,
why would you ask that? Yeah, weirdo. Like, I mean, I guess. Well, I was just trying. I don't know.
Well, I'm kidding.
Like, it's a very valid question.
Like, and I know, like last year, in the locker room, someone took some video of Josh with his shirt off, and he was actually applying lotion to himself, and then it got posted, and people were like, "Whoa, wait, what's going on?" And I remember Josh was like, "Wait, that." You guys took video of that? And I was like, yeah, you know.
Let's not take videos. But if they're just like bopping around shooting without a shirt, that's different.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add something. You made me think of something real quick. I was just talking about this with someone. And I want to say this in the right way. Because I think Dame was the best mentor Anthony could ever ask for in the world. But someone's like, well, maybe. And again, this is not saying, I'm not saying positive, negative. But maybe Anthony, you know, without a Dame on his team, feels like maybe he has more of a breakout season because of that, because he's not thinking like, well, I don't want to overstep. Like, I remember him, he did say something like his first year or second year when he was getting more playing time. Well, this is Dame's team. You know, I just want to help where I can. And he was right in saying that. But now that Dame isn't on the team, like, I don't know. I don't want to say there's a sense of freedom. I knew I wasn't going to say this right, but maybe
know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying, right? Like, he's like, doesn't feel like he's stepping on toes by like taking a shot that, you know, at the last second, that maybe he would have deferred to Dame. And so we might just see, my point is, I don't know what we're going to see from Anthony, but it's going to be different.
Yeah.
And maybe with him feeling like he can take more ownership of the team.
Yeah.
He might we don't know what we're going to get, but I think that it could be a positive for him.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, I'll say he gained so much from Dame while he was his leader.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and he is the first one to
100%. And Dame said the same thing. No, I remember when Anthony was a rookie, I was talking to Dame about something. He's like, well, I want to instill this culture because, you know, when I'm gone and Anthony's leading, like he would talk about that. Like he was like foreseeing the future, you know, like when I'm not here and Anthony's leading this team, I want him to, you know, understand the culture I hope this team has. And so it was, it's like writing on the wall or something. Like, it was foreseen at some point, like, yes, there's one day that Dame won't be on this team and Anthony, you will still be on this team. And what are you going to do with that role, that position? And so that's something we don't know. We haven't seen yet. And it's kind of, when you think of it in that way, again, I'm not saying positive or negative, but it's exciting to think of Anthony maybe like feeling like he has nothing holding him back.
Yeah.
He's just going to take over.
Yeah. And he can kind of continue his growth as a player. And, you know, I think you're exactly right about that too, Brooke, because like from a leadership perspective, he's talked about that a little bit. So, you know, I was able to talk to him before, you know, when the team was having kind of their informal runs in Tualatin, and, you know, Dame hadn't been traded yet, but, you know, we knew it was going to happen. And so, you know, I was asking Ant about, you know, like, Dame is exactly what you just said, like, has mentioned multiple times about how, you know, like, he's pouring himself into you and trying to, like, help you kind of grow as a player because he sees you as kind of the next guy. And Ant was like, yeah. And I've been sitting and kind of watching Dame and kind of seeing what he does and how kind of how he operates and thinking that, like, if I'm ever in that situation, like, I'm going to be ready to do what I need to do because I've had the opportunity to kind of sit back and, nice. And see how these things happen. And also being like, I know the next step for me is being more vocal about things and being kind
we
of
saw,
more
we've
out
seen
there a
that.
Little bit. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No, like there was a moment today at practice where like Ant was like pointing out to DeAndre, like, this is where you're supposed to go. This is where you're supposed to do. And like,
I love that.
I know he helps guys with stuff, but I have never like seen him like specifically like being like, okay, this is how it works. And so for him to say that about kind of the leadership piece, I think it applies just as much to on the court mm-hmm. where it's, and I think we even saw that a little bit last season where, you know, like Ant was getting some of those late shots, you know, like he had that winner in versus the Suns, I think, or the one where,
is that where he had 8 threes?
It might have been, but there was basically a game where it was like, yeah, it wasn't just like, oh, we're going to give the ball to Dame and he's going to take a shot. It was like, no, it's Ant's turn now.
It was his time.
So I think that if he's already talked about that from a leadership perspective in terms of like, I'm going to be different because I've learned these things, but now I need to kind of up my game. I think it stands to reason that you can apply the same idea to on the court, which mm-hmm. is that like, I've learned a lot. Like I'm a very good player now, but I know that like, I'm going to need to maybe extend myself a little bit because the guy who has been kind of papering over everyone's mistakes for the last 12 years is not here anymore. So
I look forward to watching it.
I do too. We haven't talked about Malcolm Brogdon yet. So I before we get to talking about the players who we've said so long to, just want to mention Malcolm real fast. Obviously a guy who, you know, throughout his career, just a paragon of professionalism and a guy who, like,
paragon of professionalism. Yeah. I'm gonna write that down.
Yeah, that's probably a little too much alliteration. I'm going to the alliteration.
I
mean,
when I meet
little
him tomorrow, I'd be like, "I've heard you're the paragon of professionalism."
He's like, "No, it's a lie. I'm not at all. I'm very unprofessional." But a guy who is like, you know, kind of, I wouldn't say he came out of nowhere, but not a guy who like was highly touted or was like a real high prospect, but you know, goes out. It plays incredibly well and, you know, wins Rookie of the Year, wins Sixth Man. Like, the guy, by just kind of being who he is and not trying to extend himself too much or, like, trying to listen to kind of what people say about other guys, like, it's just been a very good NBA player and a guy who gives you a lot of different things and, you know, who I think – you know, it would be helpful for any team and a guy who I think any team would be interested in too. So like, I think that, you know, to come out of that deal with a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, regardless of kind of what happens next is like, that's, again, like you got two really good pieces. Mm-hmm. So to come away from that secondary deal with both Malcolm Brogdon and Robert Williams, two guys who you would have been stoked just individually on their own to acquire either guy, mm-hmm. let alone for Drew Holiday and then multiple picks as well. Like, again, it's just,
yeah, we haven't talked enough about the picks. Like,
well, I figure you like, we can talk about the picks for another day. I feel like we're like a podcast where it's like,
no, I'm just saying, like, it's nice.
No, for sure.
They should be acknowledged, but we don't have a whole segment about it. But I'm saying, on top of these great names that we're getting and players that we're getting, we also get some stuff in the future.
Well, and just having the idea of having assets in order to make moves is, again, just something that, like, for the last couple of years, you feel like, yeah, you know, maybe we can get this guy, maybe we can get that guy. But it's like, we just don't have the tools with which to acquire those things. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, whether it's using those picks to draft players, a couple of those picks being unprotected. Now, granted, they're from pretty good teams, but still, an unprotected pick, mm-hmm. like, who's to say what happens? You know, like, to have that, you can use those, obviously, for young players, or you can use those in deals to get other players. And like, particularly with some of those picks being later on in the future, like, you kind of, you can make a decision later on, like, do I want to use these picks to bring in young talent at this point in time? Maybe we'll use them to package up for veteran talent once we feel like we're getting to a point where we're getting closer to contending. So, yeah, I mean, the picks were, I think going into it, everyone just always assumed, myself included, that the picks would be the most important part of whatever deal ended up taking place. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably still true, but man, you got a lot of good players too. So it's like, it went from being like, yeah, you know, as long as they get picks, if they get one or two guys that are even like halfway helpful, that'd be great, to boy, like you got three guys, potentially four. I mean, I haven't seen Tumani play much, so I can't say for sure. But like you have three guys in Ayton, Williams, and Brogdon that like, again, are all good players in their own right. Mm-hmm. So like,
It's a nice package.
Very well done. Very well done.
Kudos.
Exactly.
Bravo.
All right. Well, let's get to the part we've both been dreading, Brooke. Obviously, you know, saying our goodbyes to people who we've worked with, at least in terms of Dame, a long time, Nurk, quite a long time, Nas, a pretty long time, and Keon, not as long of a time, but still great.
You know, Keon provided a lot of great content on our air for broadcasting.
Keon's a good guy, and I really hope that like he gets an opportunity to put it together. Like you know, like he just had some hard times. I think you know his father passing away was really hard for him. And you know, you get traded your rookie year too. So that's
are there fishing pools where he is now? Because that's what we talked about
in most. Phoenix. There might
I'm trying to think
be, Phoenix, but yeah. I also feel like I saw something that maybe he was going to get waived. So I don't know exactly how that's going to play out. But long story short, like I really hope
he gets a chance
to
I hope he fishes to
kind of get things moving in the right direction, because you know he's got talent, he's got skills. It's just he hasn't had the opportunity to put it together just yet.
And like we talked earlier, sometimes it's just the right place at the right time, and you need a change of scenery, and maybe that'll work for everyone involved, and including like I feel bad because I feel like Rip City was rooting so hard for Nasir Little, and he just you know he had so many unfortunate things happen in terms of his health.
Yeah,
and I don't know if we will have gotten to see the best of Nas. I mean, maybe we will, unfortunately, on another team. But I think everyone would be happy for that. Like they want to see him do well. Unfortunately, just wasn't going to be in Portland. And you know, he made his mark. He and Anthony are like, you know, brothers. They're so tight. So that was my, you know, me as a mom. My first thought was, Anthony's going to be so sad. You know, how's Al doing? I got to check in on it. But he just didn't get. I wouldn't say he didn't get the opportunity. He got the opportunities. And unfortunately, his health just didn't.
Well, yeah, I would say he didn't get the opportunities in terms of his body just didn't allow him to.
Yeah.
It wasn't like anyone was holding him back.
No,
it was just
no.
Every time it seemed like Nas was making progress, like he rolled his ankle in Milwaukee, and then, you know, he had the shoulder, and then, you know, had the issue in the bubble. And, you know, so it's just Nas is a guy, too, who I would almost compare him to Ayton a little bit just in terms of, like, it's not like it was necessarily animosity or anything, but maybe Nas just needs a fresh start. You know, like he just needs a different opportunity, a different place.
Like new challenge.
In order to kind of get moving in the right direction.
Himself, yeah.
And so
I think that's true for a lot of people in general. It doesn't even have to be basketball.
And again, like you can say that without there being like, oh, Nas didn't want to be here. Oh, Portland didn't want him. It's like neither one of those things are true. It's just that like sometimes you just need a change.
Our coaching staff love Nasir.
Yeah. No, I mean, everyone loves Nas. Like, he's a super good guy, super hard worker, like a guy who's got a lot of talent. And again, I just hope he's able to stay healthy and put it together because he deserves it. I would love to see Nas have success with the Suns. At least, you know, when it's not versus the Portland Trailblazers. But yeah, that just that notion that like sometimes you just need a new place to be in order to change up a little bit. And, you know, I was going to mention this with Ayton too, and this is not necessarily the case with Nas, but just the idea too for DeAndre, like when you get drafted number one and then you have a guy like Luka Doncic that gets drafted behind you, it's like that screws everything up, you know, like
true.
In terms of like the way people view you, because it's always like, even when you do something well, it's like, well, you're not Luka, you know, like, and that I've seen that over and over and over again for players, you know, like, and that's not necessarily a comment about DeAndre specifically. It's just that idea that, you know, that was probably something that like people mentioned, and it's probably not going to get mentioned in Portland because we didn't draft you, you know, like we traded.
We don't
for
think
you,
about
so,
that stuff.
Exactly. So again, so just that idea that like, it just changes the way that you think about your self actualization. Like it changes that up a little bit. And for some guys, I think that's what they need in order to again, to become their best selves, even if they have the talent. Like sometimes it's just, for whatever reason, doesn't work in a place. And sometimes it is someone's fault. A lot of times it's not.
No. And then that leads us to Nurk.
To Nurk, exactly.
Who I will never forget, and I will keep it short because I will try to do the same for Dame.
You can run as long
well,
as you want.
I mean, we could be here all night, but, I'll never forget meeting Nurk when he first got to Portland in the middle of game in his eggplant suit, and he was just larger than life, and he was walking out, and I was walking back to the back, and I don't know what I was doing back there, but it was like middle of the first quarter was when he arrived, and I introduced myself, and he was so kind and, you know, was so excited to be there. And from then on out, I have like a bunch of videos. I was looking through my phone the other night because I have too many videos. So I have to erase stuff because it's Theo's fault in soccer. I'm trying to get the goal. So I have like 9 million videos of nothing. So I'm erasing stuff. I'm going way back. And I was laughing because I have so many pictures and videos of Nurk just messing with me.
Sure. Yeah.
He does it all the time. But like, I will miss that so much because he never took himself. I mean, people will say, you know, even that whole thing when Dame was like, Nurk's petty, you know, like in Nurk laughed about it. He might be petty, whatever. It's part of his charm, but he never took himself too seriously. In my opinion, he was up for like, gives it to you, but can take it as well. And truly a genuine person where he cares about us, you know, like I'm not saying that all NBA players, you know, don't care about you. That's not what I'm saying. But like, it means something when when Nurk would be like, how's Theo? Like, I'm like, you remember I have a son. That is so nice. You know, like, cause we're asking them questions all the time. I think it's just like instilled in them. Like, they're not gonna be like, well, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. You know, they're just there and they think that we're just there to ask them questions. Maybe they don't think so much to ask you questions. And Nurk was always like that, you know, like asking, you know, how's it going? Like, how's your weekend? Like, just, I know it sounds little, but it meant a lot to me that he cared. And Nurk is just, he brought this energy that I will miss so much. Just him. I remember when he, as we all do, when he, you know, broke his leg and then he came back, during that game where Dame hit the game winner. And that was a moment I will forever remember. I mean, I get chills thinking about it right now. And only Nurk could have provided that moment, you know, only a guy like him. And we saw what he went through. And that guy worked so hard to get back. And I wish him the best of luck. And again, maybe a change of scenery, all that.
Nurk is another perfect example of that.
And he might flourish. I believe he will flourish. I hope he will. And he's newly married, you know, the most beautiful wedding that I wasn't invited to, but I'm going to get over that. Casey, you were, don't bring it up. I'll do it for you.
But I was not invited.
I thought you were invited.
To Nurk's wedding? No.
Yeah. I thought you were.
No, I was not invited. I've mentioned that multiple times.
That makes me happy though.
No, if I was invited to Nurk's wedding in Dubrovnik, I think I probably could have made that happen.
That looked gorgeous.
I was not there though. Ant mentioned on a recent podcast you don't listen to that, there's no elevator there, so you have to take stairs the entire way. And he's like, it's like 200 stairs to get to where the wedding was at. And they're not like smooth, like concrete stairs.
How did
like
they cater that thing?
He's like, maybe there's a secret elevator somewhere that they don't tell people about, but we had to walk up multiple.
No way.
200 stairs, basically. He's like, including, you know, the women are obviously in dresses and heels. Like, and again, these are like
cobblestone. Oh, God, that's the worst.
Yeah, so he's like, it was difficult. He was like, it was a beautiful wedding.
Well, good. I'm glad they had to go through something.
He's like, and this is that. He was like, that's where it's from Game of Thrones. Like, and so he was really stoked about that.
Oh, wow.
But no, I was not invited.
Oh, I don't know why I thought you were, but I thought you were. Anyways, we still love you, Nurk, even though we both weren't invited. Yeah. But I will just miss his presence.
Yeah.
Even when he was just like standing in front, he would always take his gum wrappers and leave them on my table. And that was just became our thing. And I would like a couple times I'm like, where's there's no gum wrappers here. Like is he sick? Is Nurk not playing? And then he'd walk by and drop his gum. I'm like, okay, all is well in the world. You know, like there's just something about the guy. Like, you know, there's je ne sais quoi. There's only one Nurk to me. And I'm so excited about DeAndre. You know, there's no comparison there. I'm so excited to get to know him, and the little I've known of him so far, he's been wonderful. But with Nurk, he just became like our guy.
Yeah.
He's like our guy, you know?
Nurk is an incredibly caring person. Like, and even outside of like his dealings with us, like, you see the things that like Nurk is really like,
he's really good with the fans.
Interested in. Like, he loves fans. He loves kids, like, and family.
And cats.
And cats. I've never mentioned this before, but if you go back and – you'd have to go back years and years and years on my Twitter account. We were in Utah, and I think – was it Christmas or no, I don't think so. But we were in the reason I thought that's because I know we were in Utah for one of our Christmas games. And so we're going into the foyer of the hotel there in Utah, and Nurk comes up and he's like, "Hey man, I got a favor to ask you." And I was like, "Of course, Nurk, whatever, man. I didn't do anything for you." "So man, like my cat, I don't know where she at. She got outside, I had to leave, I drive around, look for her, I can't find her. I'm very scared. I don't know where she at." Like, oh, Nurk loves cats. And so he had lost
I one remember. Of his cats. He put like
and he's like, "Can him. He's like, "I don't want people to know. Can you put something out, say if you see his cat, let me know?" Because he didn't want people to like,
yeah.
I think he literally said, he's like, "I don't want anyone to like use it against me. Like,
oh,
that I'm feeling sad about my cat being gone." And I was like, "Nurk, that absolutely, man." So like a tweet, I was like, "Hey, friend of mine lost their cat in West Lynn. Like, if you see it around, it's a Scottish fold, like, just let me know." And so that was Nurk, because he was feeling super sad about his cat. And I remember I mentioned to someone, and someone was like, "Oh yeah, no, we know." Like, someone on the team was like, "No, we're aware that Nurk can't find his cat."
Well, one of my favorite pictures of all time is him jet skiing
in the backpack, exactly.
With the hard case backpack with his cat inside.
Like, again, just to say it, like, Nurk's heart is enormous.
The best.
Like, he's got such love for people and for his country. And
there's a childlike sensibility.
Yeah, like a real, like, you kind of assume that, you know, people get jaded after a while, or just something changes. And like with Nurk, it's like that's always been a constant for him, is that, like, just the amount that he cares about people. And you're exactly right. Like, it's not like guys in the NBA are jerks or anything, but, you know, like, there's a stratification. It's like, you're players, we're not. Like, you know, like, there's a delineation there, and everyone wants your time. Everyone's interested in talking to you. Like, so, you know, I understand that at a certain point, like, I think for some guys, it's like, "Look, man, this is too much. Like, I got to keep my circle tight." Like, so, like, I'm not, like, trying to be a jerk or anything, but, you know, like, we're just never going to be that close.
Yeah, I'll answer your questions.
Which is fine. Like, again, it's a work relationship. You know, it's not like because you're good at basketball, you got to let people into your lives or even like them.
Right.
But Nurk was always like that. Like, again, like, he always really cared about kind of what was going on and what you were doing. Like, he would see things that, like, would really affect him and want to be like, "How can I do something to help this?" Like, just an incredibly genuine person and an emotional person. And I think, you know, when he was at his best, he was able to use that.
Yeah,
when he wasn't, it worked against him. Like, and, you know, that was Nurk. And it's like, the thing about Nurk, too, it's like, you might not like what you're always going to get every time, but you know what you're going to get from Nurk. Like, it's like he was consistent in that kind of, like, variability, you know?
Yes.
And, again, just incredibly sweet guy. And, you know, me and Nurk, we would butt heads sometimes. Like, you know, like, Nurk was also a guy too where, like, he would sometimes take things the wrong way and you'd be like, "Nurk, like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. Like, I don't know how you got to there from here. Like, arguing with you. Like, I literally don't know what you're saying." Like,
no, I know. And you and I have joked about this. Like, I could ask Nurk the most pointed question, like, there's really only way to answer it, and he would just say what he wanted to say at that point, like something that he'd been wanting to say for a while. It had nothing to do with my question. Like, and one of the we have a famous GIF on, like, if you put in Nurk or you put in me, it pops up when, you know, he goes, I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
I asked him something like, doesn't make any sense to what I asked. I just said something, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I love it. And he's just looking up and looking at the crowd pointing. And I'm like, that is not what I asked you, but you go ahead and do that. And I love that about him. Like, he wanted to be heard. And
he wanted to be a part of things too. Like, anytime something happened, like, Nurk would always want to be like,
always,
I want to be a part of this. Like, you know, like,
well, he's the number one post game interview interrupter.
Oh, for sure.
I loved it. Everyone's like, does that bother you? I was like, no, it doesn't bother me. I wish you would do it. I mean, I wish he did it most, but like, that makes a post game interview for me when like something crazy happens. Like, that was beginning of last year was so fun when like we had all those, you know, team photo bombs, all that. But Nurk was always welcome in a post game interview. I sometimes was like, where is he? He should be pouring water on this guy right now. Like, is he hurt? What's going on? But I loved him for that. And I'll tell you, like, I've done a ton of interviews, as have you. But like the one I did with Nurk after the injury, where we sat in the PF in the theater room, and it took everything out of me not to cry during that interview. And it was about him coming back and the injury, and it was super emotional, and he was wonderful. And when and our editors are amazing, they put together an amazing feature. And it, to this day, like that's the thing I'm most proud of for me, is that interview with him. And I give him all the credit because he was so open and honest. And it was hard to talk about because I mean, he broke his leg and it snapped in half in front of an entire arena and the nation watching. It was awful. I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. Yeah. But he was so thoughtful in that interview. And every once in a while, like, I'll just look it up and watch it. And I'll probably do that tonight because I love that.
That's a good, like, that's another thing that I would say is one of kind of the hallmarks of Nurk's personality is like, he's not afraid to like of his emotions, you know, like he's a guy who, if he was affected by something, like he'd be fine talking about it. And a lot of guys, you know, like just generally, you know, kind of keep that to themselves or, mm-hmm. or to a certain group of people. But like Nurk was always like, if he was super happy about something, like he'd be forward about it. If he was mad about something or upset about something or if he was sad about something, like, you know, Nurk would like, he wouldn't necessarily like hide it or be afraid of it. Like he,
when his grandmother passed,
oh God,
that was the worst.
Yeah.
And he wore that. He felt it. He, you know, held it tight and, but it like was open about it, but you knew how deeply it affected him. Yeah. That was really hard. Because again, like, think about our lives growing up. I've said this before, and versus like how Nurk grew up.
Yeah.
I mean, the things he saw as a child, the things that he had to work through. And then, you know, you're by yourself at 14 playing a sport. Someone just taught you like, you should be good at this. You're tall, go do it. And then you're away from your family, away from your brother that you're super close to. And then you come to the US and then he was on his own. You know, he told me that story. He's like, I came to New York. I was like, oh, like I'm not going to try to steal your impression of Nurk. I'm bad.
Hey, it's
but
everybody.
Like his first time he got was New York and he was like, this place is crazy, you know? And his life is, it's so impressive what he's been able to do with odds against him.
Yeah.
And he's done it with humility. I know that people sometimes think he's a little boisterous and I love that about him. I hope that never changes. Well, that's again, part of his personality.
That's part of being in touch with your emotions as well, is that, you know, when you're being kind of a brass jerk, it's like, yeah,
I love it. Kind of a brass jerk. I love it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, why not? Like, if that's what I'm feeling right now, like I'm going to lean into that. Yeah. So
we will miss you, Nurk. We love you.
We really will. And yeah, I mean, all the best to Nurk. And yeah, he's just a good dude.
Good dude.
And finally, speaking of good dudes, mm-hmm. one Damian Lillard, who, obviously throughout the years, very close to Dame, a guy who, again, really more than anyone, and this is all players, like just treated you like a person and like wanted to have you around. And like, it wasn't like you're like, yeah, you know, you're kind of a pain in the ass, but you helped me out. So, you know, I'm going to kind of grin and bear it. Yeah. Like a guy who really viewed you as a human being, mm-hmm. and not like someone he worked with or, you know, someone in the media or someone who's a fan of what I do. And, you know, to have that from anyone in the profession is already incredibly rare. And then to have it from someone who is as good as he is and has the amount of time constraints and interest in him as he does, like, it's incredibly uncommon. Like, I mean, I got like 4 texts from Dame today just about like random stuff that didn't really have anything to do with anything basketball. And, you know, it's like, you just don't, I just feel really lucky that we were able to kind of go along that journey with him and with his family too. And again, like his family was always super open to me. I've been on one private jet in my entire life and it was with Dame's mom and one of Houston's kids on the way back from LA, All-Star weekend, like Lene, Brittany, like
the whole crew,
like obviously the kids,
Kelgen,
exactly. Shout out to you, Kelgen. Mm-hmm. You know, just to have the opportunity to be a part of that and not be a part of it like because you work for the team, but be a part of it because this guy is actually interested in who you are and like appreciates who you are and what you do and the work that you've put in, mm-hmm. and the interest that you have in kind of seeing this thing become something we all want to see it be, you know, again, it's just a lot of gratitude. And, you know, I think it's going to work out for everybody. And, you know, like, part of me feels like we could have taken, or I wish we could have taken kind of that one big swing, but like, I understand why they didn't. And I think, you know, in retrospect, that's the right call. But man, it would have been nice if we could have, done that. And like, it just would have meant so much to so many people. And yeah, I'm going to miss Dame a lot, you know, like, and you know, still going to hear from him. Like, we'll see him in Milwaukee, and he's going to be, he swears up and down that he's living in Portland in the off season. He's like,
he
built the place.
He doesn't say anything
there.
He
like,
doesn't mean.
Yeah. He sticks to his word. So it's not like it's, I mean, I think we're going to see the guy, but it's, you know, it'll just,
It's just different. Yeah. It's not what we're used to. And like I said earlier, no matter who came to the team, who we picked up, I never worried because, like I said, well, Dame, he leads by example. And how do you come into an establishment and see the leader of that team and not want to follow suit, like doing the things he does the way he does them? And he always set the example, and you know, other players, you know, wanted to live up to it. Like, if he's going to be the first in the weight room, and he's the superstar of this team, I should probably get to the weight room earlier. You know, and that was just the way he was. And for me personally, I just appreciated, and I will always appreciate his candor, how open he was with just not, you know, he, like you said, everyone wants a piece of his time. And I've always said to like other sideline reporters, and I, you know, we have a little thing. We talk all the time, and they're like, I can't believe your best players is your easiest person to get to interview. Like, we have to put in weeks in advance. And if he doesn't want to do it the minute before, he's not going to do it. And I got Damian Lillard, who I interviewed 80% of the time, like literally like every third game, especially the last couple of years. Dame, I got you. Okay. I got you. I'll see you out there, BO. You know, just, oh, never once was he like, I just don't feel like it today. Yeah. I can't do it. Never once.
Never once.
He
like,
showed up.
Every time I'd be like, hey, can I get you? And he'd be like, yeah, of course. And it was
always.
Never like, hey, I can't remember a single time where he's like, nah, man, I can't do it. Like,
yeah.
And you could have like, and I'm a guy too, where I'm always like, it's fine. No problem. Like, we'll just do another time. It's like, no, we can do it now. And
yeah, he was the best.
To have someone that again, like it. And I think part of that too is not just because he's wanted to be helpful, but because Dame knew who he was and kind of the importance that he carried.
Right.
And I think he did that at times because he's like, I know this is going to help you as in your job because of who I am in my job.
He knew.
Like,
yeah, he knew.
And you know, I won't say that Dame made my career, but I think like,
I would say
a large part of the
yeah.
success, any success I've realized in my career, I think is in no small part due to Dame. And
oh, I'm
even
grateful.
If, I remember, you know, I was a few years ago, I was kind of trying to get a few things done at work, and it really wasn't working out for me. And I was just like, I don't kind of know how this is going to play for me. And I just kind of mentioned it offhand to Dame, and he's like, well, who do I need to call? It's like, who should I call to kind of push this thing forward? And I was like, no, man, I can't have you calling people for me. And he's like, no, who just let me know. And like, I'll do it. And I didn't,
yeah.
But like, just the fact that he was like, yeah. No, I want to help you out. Like,
yeah.
who can I get in touch with that we can get this thing figured out? Like,
yeah,
I mean, like,
totally
I don't have other friends that would do that. I have good
yeah.
friends. Like, you know, like, so to have it be someone that you work with and who is of that stature, again, like, being interested in you being successful as well, like, again, it's
a rarity.
I'd say like it's uncommon, but uncommon isn't even like
there's only one Damian
Lillard.
It's
only happened once.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's only one Damian Lillard where you can have a guy that has achieved so much, been so successful with all odds against him, and is still genuine, thoughtful, caring, and like would put other people you know, in front of himself. Like, you just don't see that very often. He had every opportunity in the world to be a jerk if he wanted to, you know, he'd be like, listen, I just got top 75 of all time. I just don't feel like doing this interview right now. Or like, you know, you know, this bus is full. I don't get my own seat. Well, someone needs to get up. And, you know, that story I told you about going to Golden State when they played in Oakland, and I was sitting and I realized there were no seats because they only had two buses back then. And I was like, oh, sorry, Dame, I'll move over like and sit with another media member and you can have your own row because every player gets their own row as they should.
Yeah.
And it's a star player. He gets on the last because he's literally been signing autographs for probably 10 minutes and gets every single one done. And he goes, no, I'll sit with you. And I'll sit with you, homie. And sits down. And we 45 minutes had the most amazing conversation about his anti-bullying stance and where that all came from. And I'm trying to picture that happening with any other superstar in the NBA. We're like, no, I'll just sit and share a seat with you. And I'll tell you like some of my, you know, deepest, darkest stories about like things that happened to me in my childhood that have made me, you know, focus on. It wasn't like an interview thing. It was just two friends talking, yeah. You know? And I mean, the seat situation in itself tells you enough. Like he doesn't need his own row. He doesn't care. But then just sit and like be thoughtful and like just talk to me about something that's important to him. Like I just feel like you said, I feel grateful that I was able to cover him and be a friend to him and he to me. And I will forever be grateful that for the time that he was in Portland because it made my life easier.
Yeah.
And two, it made my life more enriched.
Yeah.
Because of him. And I will forever be thankful for him.
Yeah. I mean, I know more people saw my work because of Dame.
Like, oh.
I mean, that's, and you talk about sitting too. I think maybe I've told this story before, but when Dame had his concert not the Roseland, whatever the McMinimins one was. You know, he was up in the green room area, and I had gotten there early because, you know, mm-hmm. I usually show up when they tell me to show up, and yeah. Then everyone else shows up 2 hours later, and I'm like, hey, what I thought we were
well,
supposed
we
to
still
earlier,
do it,
but
we still do it.
Exactly. It's a, you can't help myself. And so I'm in the green room with my wife, and you know, we're talking to Dame, and a lot of other people start showing up. You know, it's a pretty small room, a bunch of his family, like people who aren't 10 years older and, you know, yeah. From Newberg, and you know, so room's starting to fill up, and I'm looking around. I'm like, all right, it's probably time for us to go and kind of let him do his mm-hmm. thing here with these people. And I get up, and he's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "You know, I'm just making some room, moving on." He's like, "Sit down." He's like, "I invited you, didn't I?" He's like, "Sit down, like you're here, like hang out." And you know, like you just become accustomed to like being like.
Dipping out.
Yeah. Well, and in this job too, and you know, like you're in the background and yeah, like you don't want to be too forward and like overstep bounds or, and not even just that, but just the idea that like, you don't want to take the access and like use it for something different, you know, like, and that wasn't what it was, but just generally, you know, you just want to,
I get it.
Kind of demure a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, man, like I didn't invite you here to not be here. Yeah. Like, and again, like to have someone that, you know, again, friends were there, family were there, you know, like you're about to put on a show. Like it just always stuck with me as like, yeah. In any other situation, I would have been like, yeah, you know, we should get out of here. And it was like, no, man, like you stay here.
When you break into his circle, you're there forever. You know, like you're like, I know you've been friends with him for longer than I have, but when you like reach and it I'm not saying it doesn't take a lot because it does. You have to earn his trust, right? Because, you know, you've seen his words get twisted in the media and he's like, that's not what I said, you know? And so I would, you know, I take a lot of pride in making sure I never say, like, I get every word correctly, like, and I'll even make sure, like, triple check because I never want to say something that, or missay something that a player said. And with Dame, like, I obviously took that to heart. So I was always very, like, made sure I said every word correctly. Never want to put him in a position that I've seen him put in before by the national media. And I think that he, you know, he was grateful for that. So as soon as he felt like he could trust me, and then we became friends after that, you know, like we talk about, you know, his kids and all that and other interests. When you're in, because I don't have a story like you do about him saying, who do I have to call? But I feel like I could,
could,
if something happened, like he'd be, who do I have to call? And just because he cares about you, you know, and he means it, like he doesn't have to extend himself like that, but he does. And I'll tell one quick last story. And I think I have already, but it's worthy of this moment when, my guy from Australia who had the tattoo of Dame on his arm, he sent it to me. His girlfriend also, she sent it to me. And she's like, could you show this to Dame? I'm like, absolutely. That's amazing. So he had one side of his forearm was Michael Jordan smoking the cigar with the trophy. And then the other one was Dame tapping his wrist. So I showed Dame. He's like, that's sick. And he like knew what kind of tattoo it was. He's like, that's thin. I don't know, whatever. I don't know my tattoo lingo. But so he overcame cancer, this kid. And we were all excited. And we're like, that's great. We know, congratulations. I sent him, you know, something. And a year later, he got it again. It came back. And so he had to go through chemo again. So we went through all of it. And when his parents said, like, if you get through this second one, whatever you want, you name it, we're doing it, whatever you want. He's like, all I want to do is go see, I'm going to cry. All I want to do is go see Dame play. And so they flew, when he got through remission, they flew from Australia to Portland just to see the game. And I don't do this very often because I don't want to bother Dame, but this was something that was like, I told him about it ahead of time. He's like, I assume you would like to meet him. He's here just to see you. You know, he has your tattoo. He just got over cancer. So brought Dame up. His mom was crying. I was crying. And he looked at his tattoo and the kid was like, he was overwhelmed with, you know, he couldn't believe it was happening. And he asked him to sign his signature above the tattoo. And then the next day he's like, I'm not going to shower tonight. And the moment the tattoo parlor opens in the morning, I'm getting it. So he got Dame's signature, the actual one tattooed above it. And those little moments, like it took Dame 4 minutes, you know, which again, he doesn't have to do that.
Yeah.
He's warming up for a game. He's like, what if he could have said to me, Brooke, I got to focus. It's a big game.
Yeah,
I don't
it doesn't,
have
it wouldn't make you a bad person at all to be like, no, I can't do that.
And I'd be like, totally get it. He's like, where is he? Like, he came up to me. Like, I was like talking to the family, and then Dame hadn't come out yet. So I was just like chatting with someone else. He comes up. He's like, where is he? I'm like, oh, he's right here. And he wanted to do it. And I have so many stories. Like, that one's most impactful because I became friends with that family and I know what that kid went through. And that one means a lot to me. But I could tell you 100 more. I know you could too, of things that Dame didn't have to do with fans that he wanted to do because he knew it would affect them. And like, those moments, as little as it takes for him to do, I mean, that's a core memory for these people.
Absolutely. And that's something too that, you know, I've mentioned before is that, yeah, when you have interactions with anyone who has a bit of fame or notoriety, like, you know, that interaction, they have 100 of those a day. They just come and go. They don't think about them very often because, you know, like it happens all the time. But for the other person, that's like that's like an indelible memory for that person.
Absolutely.
Either positive or negative. And yeah, like Dame did that kind of stuff like on the regular.
All the
time. And you know, no one's perfect, but like just a really good person and
pretty
a really
darn
good
close.
Family. And you know, we're definitely better off for having had
yes.
Dame in our lives. And again, that's not any kind of send off because you know, it's not like he's
he's
going
to be okay.
Going disappearing or anything.
He's
going to
be all right.
And he's going to be fine too, yeah. But, you know, now the rest of us, you know, move on.
I mean, as Casey knows, I had when this all started, I had a really hard time with this personally, just because you come accustomed to my life as covering the Blazers has always been with Dame. And so I've been through, like, ups and downs this summer. And at one point, you know, I just said to you the other day, I was like, I just, you know, want it to be done so I can, I've mourned him already. I've mourned the loss of him leaving, but now I just want to like know where he's going and we can just say, okay, now we can just move on, you know? And so it's actually like having this talk with you, other than the fact that I just cried is, that was a side note, but I feel
just, you teared up.
I teared up a little bit. No, I didn't need a tissue or anything. I just got a little emotional, but
mascara still intact. So
thank you. But I would say that I feel good about it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I had to go through the gamut of emotions where, you know, I had a pity party for myself, you know, like, well, no one's going to, you know, say yes to every interview and he's not going to, and I'm not going to get to talk to him. I can, you know, I was just like mourning for myself. Like I became accustomed to Dame in my life and I can't picture him with, you know, another team or someone
another
else, another sideline reporter.
Else
I'm going to kill her. But anyways, I've come to terms with it, I guess I would say. And now that I look at, like I said earlier, look at it like as it is on paper, whatever, it all looks good. And I feel like he's in a great place. And I just, you know what I'm really pleased about that they already appreciate him, or at least are open to appreciating him as much as we did.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, no, they're incredibly stoked, and I mean, like the, and for good reason. Like the, I mean, on a basketball level, like
jeez, Louise,
it's a good team, and yeah, on a, I think Dame's personality and kind of people know kind of the guy he is.
Yeah, and he looks happy. He looks happy.
Yeah. And I got to say, too, like, I like that font they use. So, like, the zero that's, like, square, like, I, at first I didn't think much of it, and then I saw it, and I was like, son of a bitch.
I hated to, like,
yeah, exactly.
He looks good. Yeah. Oh, no. No, but we wish him the best of luck. Nurk, Nas, Keon, everyone. This is part of the game, part of the business.
Yep.
We say that all the time. This one was bigger.
A little bit different.
This
but,
one
yeah.
hit our hearts a little different. And, you know, it's, I guess it's a reminder that it's a business, because I have had to tell myself that over and over and over again. And I think, you know, I'm there. I obviously have to be there. But I look at it now like a new opportunity for him.
Yeah.
And for Nurk, too. And, you know, we had the years we had, and I'm so grateful for them. And now it's a new chapter for both of us, too. Like, you know, it's,
absolutely.
It truly is. Like, I look at this year as an exciting new challenge to get to know a whole slew of new people, figure out their personalities, and get to know them and tell their stories. And it's kind of like starting over a little bit. And, you know, I take that on as a fun new challenge.
Yeah. And, I mean, all these guys, too, like a good group of dudes. Like Scoot, super good dude. DeAndre, yeah. good dude. Chris.
Oh, my God. I love
like,
Chris.
I mean, it's
Chris
a,
is the sweetheart.
It's a really solid group of guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I hope for their success for all kinds of different reasons, but one of those reasons, because like it is a good collection of people. And I mean, obviously you don't, I mean, Anthony's great. Jeremy is.
That smile on Jeremy.
Come on, like, you know, Jeremy. I had a fantastic discussion with Matisse today about whales.
Oh my God. Of course you
did. About how orcas are kind of jerks and
they are,
you know,
jerks.
Is it,
they're mean.
Are we to the point where we've changed nature enough to where, saying that you shouldn't mess with nature in nature, but they're already affected by the things that we've done. So does that mean that I can throw a rock at an orca if it's trying to
Whoa.
Get a baby gray whale to breach and then eat it? Like a great conversation
wow.
with Matisse in the about who's drinking water today.
I am shooketh.
You know how quick I take these conversations into
yes.
weird, odd places. I think that helps a little bit too. Like if Dame got traded and it's just for picks, or it's a deal where you're like, oh boy, like
the deal that was put out there.
I mean, I don't want to get too into the weeds,
right.
but yeah, like I think we can also thank Joe for getting a good deal too, because if it hadn't been, I think whatever emotions you already felt about it,
you
feel even worse
yeah,
about it. And
so
you're like,
true.
And now we're just here in the rain. Like,
yeah, and that's very true, Casey, because like I said, looking at it, seeing where he is now, the fit and all the, you know, the guys that the Blazers got. And I mean, that we at Phoenix, I think, you know, whatever. I think that overall, obviously Milwaukee,
all in good
was,
spots.
They,
like everyone ended
spots,
up in a good spot.
And it was the waiting game was totally worth it. Yeah, I mean, way worth it. And you're right. Everything hits different if you feel like the pieces fit.
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, you didn't get shortchanged. And I do not think we got shortchanged.
Yeah.
I think Joe did and the company did a great job. And yeah, playing the long game. And it worked out in our favor.
Yeah.
So
it's funny, too, that like 3 months is like the long game in the NBA, too. And you're exactly right. But like,
but it was something new every day.
I mean, like, I kept trying to tell people, like, guys, just don't pay attention to it. Like, it's.
It's really hard to not.
It's not
yes,
real. And, you know, I'm going to pat myself on the back here. I was right up the entire time. Like, none of it was real. Mm-hmm. Like, let's try to learn that next time, too. That's my other sign off, is that, like, let's take this experience and be better from the experience by not falling into the same
yeah.
traps that people are trying to set for you over and over and over again. But we've already gone so long, and we should just sign off by saying thank you to all those guys.
We love y'all.
You guys were fantastic.
Thank
Welcome
you for all you did for us.
To all the new guys.
Yes.
You're going to be great. We're really looking forward to working with you all. I'm sure you're listening to this podcast, and I'm sure you've listened all the way through to this podcast. If you are listening to this podcast,
this was a long one.
Yeah, this was a long one, which it needed to be. Yeah, exactly.
No, I agree. And thank you to, all the guys that were so great to us, but I agree. The new guys I'm really excited about, and I really can't wait to do our next podcast, because that will have meant I got to meet like the ones I haven't met yet, because we had media, as you guys probably know, we had media day yesterday, but it was kind of a shortened version. So I know Scoot, I've met him and talked to him numerous times, but I didn't get a chance to chat with him yesterday. And some of the new guys weren't in town yet, so they just came straight here. So I get to meet them for the first time tomorrow. So I'm really excited to do our next podcast so we can talk about, the new guys more in depth with more things to say about them other than what we know on paper.
I think he's a great guy. I'm sure it's going to work out fantastic. You're right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Blazers Balcony. We'll be back. I'm going to stop saying we're going to be back because I keep saying it and then we don't necessarily.
Well, we are back now. We just had a hiatus because of.
But long story short, you should subscribe to the podcast, because that way, regardless of when they get posted, they go right to your phone or whatever you happen to be listening to podcasts on. We really appreciate all of your listenership and your support, and we really enjoy doing this podcast. And Brooke's right. Like, it's the way that this team is set up and the way that the roster has been put together, like, it gives us a lot to talk about and a lot of interesting things to kind of delve into. And I think we're going to do that over these weeks and months of the 2023-24 regular season. I just wanted to say it one more time.
Sounds good.
So thank you for joining us. Hey, man, like, subscribe. It really helps podcasts. If you like it, subscribe whenever possible. Thanks so much. I am Casey Holdall, she Brooke Oldendam.
Peace out.